Thank you, choir. That was wonderful. It's like I'm falling. That's the way we're going to do it this morning. We're just going to fall in love with each other again and again and again. I'm really glad to be here this morning. I'm John Bierman and my wife, Charlotte. And it's just, you know, Unity of Farmington Hills. I've noticed your website and your advertisement for a minister, and I looked at it several times. I thought, Farmington Hills. It just sounds almost idyllic, you know, like it's sort of a, you know, Peyton Place type of environment with trees, and you got the glass there, you can look out into nature, and then when we got here this morning, it is. It's a beautiful sanctuary, beautiful people, so I want to thank Michael for inviting me. I want to thank Dave DeAngelis for showing us around, getting us a place to stay. We had a good time yesterday, so it's great to be here this morning. And I want to introduce you this morning to some guides. Now, they're not back here. They're not going to be coming in through that door or anything. These are not guides that you would normally think. They're inner guides. But speaking of guides, my wife and I just recently came back from a kind of a once-in-a-lifetime adventure that we planned after our contract expired in Unity of Clemson Anderson. We decided to go on a vacation to Eastern Europe. And the first half, Charlotte planned, and the second half of the vacation, I planned. So the first half was a little cruise, kind of a smaller boat, 45, 50 people, a lot of Australians on the boat. Fun people. I don't know if you've ever met any, but they seem like they're always on vacation. My kind of people, you know? And I was complaining a little bit because the cabin was so small. But boy, it turned out to be fantastic. And the guide was great. Yeah, I know, in Greece. Did I say that? These little Greek islands. We were going around these little smaller islands. And the guide was great. And then speaking of guides, the second half of the trip, we went up to Eastern Europe. So we flew from Athens to Warsaw. And weird flight going to Warsaw. And this really small airport, and we got off. And now we were on like a land tour. So they had, at every stop, at every city, they would have guides. And these guides were really knowledgeable. Most of them female, women. But man, they knew their stuff about art, about paintings, about, you know, the history, the town. I mean, it was amazing. In fact, one guide, we were asking her if there was some more we could do, and she said, yeah, you could read our book. She had written a book about the history of this town. So we got her book. I mean, it just kind of blows you away how much these guides know. But the thing that, on the bus, in between, there was a guide that went with us the entire time. So we had to get up early in the morning, and we'd get on the bus, and I would, like, it was a comfortable seat. I'd sit back in the bus, you know, I'm going to just kind of meditate and relax and just be. And he would get in the front of the bus with a microphone, and he would start telling us about every detail between here and there. And I finally got to the point where I would put on earphones and listen to music so I could relax. But that's not the type of guide we're going to be talking about, not an external guide. It's an inner guide. And we all know in Unity we have these inner guides. And quite frankly, I didn't realize how important they were. And in my life, I've been in Unity a long time, I kept running into these obstacles, you know, things that would come up and didn't know, that can't just be me. I'm created perfect as a child of God in God's image and, you know, learning all this about Unity. I thought, that just can't be me. And I started getting kind of curious about it. And this book came along that Carol Pearson wrote about 20 years ago. And it's called Awakening the Heroes Within. And it's basically instruction and insight into how, when we're on this, how many of you have been on a hero's journey at one time or another in your life? How many? Couple? How many are on one now? Okay? Well, I would suggest to you that you're all on a hero's journey. Huh?
What's a hero's journey?
hero's journey is ties in with archetypes, archetypal understanding. And that's what I'm going to talk about, these 12 archetypes. So a hero's journey is basically a situation where, for whatever reason, you feel called to move out of your current situation, whether it be a relationship, whether it be a job, a career, a way you do things. Maybe you just think, I just can't do that anymore. Whatever it is, maybe it's the way you eat breakfast, the way you get out of bed, the bed you sleep on. It can be anything. But really, and so a lot of times it's, you know, career, people think of it as career changes or major changes, but it's really not. A hero's journey is about spirit really coming to you and saying, it's time for you to recognize your true self. And it's masqueraded in the form of a job change, or it's masqueraded in the form of a new relationship. It's masqueraded in the form of any number of things. So you don't have to move, you don't have to change churches, you don't have to change spouses. But you can be called, and I would suggest to you that we're all on a hero's journey. Part of the reason for that is that if you think about it, I mean, we're here on this planet, and you can say that we've chosen to be having this experience. We've chosen to be here this morning, we've chosen the experience that we're having, if you want to take it that far. I know a lot of Unity ministers who believe that. And I believe that we have choices in life. And that's our most powerful tool. So these archetypal patterns help us on this hero's journey. But the hero's journey is basically in three phases. The preparation for the journey. I mean, they're really simple. The preparation for the journey. And that's when that stirring, that inner stirring starts. That inner wanting more in your life. And then it's the journey itself. And then, of course, it's the returning home to a new freedom. I'm sure you've heard the expression, I've been around the world, I've been out there, and I've come back home, and I'm seeing it for the first time in a different way. That's the hero's journey. It's going out into the world and getting your butt kicked. It's going out into the world and having worldly experiences. And participating, not hiding, participating in those experiences. And then coming back to share that with others. That's the hero's journey. So Carol wrote about these 12 archetypal patterns that help us on that journey, that are our guides on that journey. Carl Jung, most people are familiar with, is a great psychiatrist. He and Freud really shaped the form of psychiatry in the 20th century. Carl Jung was the first to really uncover the idea of these archetypal patterns. And I am just like a little baby with them. I'm just starting to learn them, and I've been studying them now for 6 months. If you remember The Hero with 1,000 Faces, what was his name? Who? Yeah, Joseph Campbell. You remember that? And he did that series with PBS. Bill Moyers interviewed him. You remember that? Well, you're too young for that. But this idea of these archetypal patterns that are residing in our subconsciousness. And they're there. And that's what I kept coming up against, is these archetypal patterns that would present themselves. And I was like, gosh, that's not who I want to be. So, and there's different levels of these archetypal patterns. A lot of times they're buried. They're in our shadow self. And as we move through this hero's journey, these 12 archetypal patterns can help us on that journey. As we prepare for the journey, as we go on the journey, and as we return home. But Carl Jung said that these subconscious patterns are universal. And I started thinking, you know, that's kind of like unity. What Carol says, Carol Pearson, the author, is that these archetypal patterns are really 12 faces of God. When you think about it, these patterns that we have within us are faces of God, but they're in our subconsciousness. I'm going to read a couple of things to you just to get some real good clarification. This is from Carl Jung. Most people confuse self-knowledge with knowledge of their conscious ego personalities. Would you agree with that? I think that's true. Anyone who has ego consciousness at all takes it for granted that he knows himself, but the ego knows only its own contents, not the unconscious and its contents. So we think we know ourselves. To thine own self be true, all of that. We want to have integrity, we want to know ourselves, but we're limited in how we can know ourselves. We can know ourselves consciously, but not, we don't know what's going on in the subconscious. And that's where these archetypal patterns reside. And when we start to get in touch with them, we can really make some breakthroughs in our life. When we get in touch with them and honor them and use them as guides on this path, we can make some real breakthroughs in our lives. Myrtle Fillmore was aware of this. And this is from her book, or her letters, called Healing Letters. Most of us have had to meet and deal with some of the subconscious holdings. Most of us. I think haven't all of us had to meet with these subconscious patterns that come up in our lives? Haven't we had to meet them and deal with them? We have these very fixed subconscious states of mind, which have their correspondences in the activities of the soul and in physical structure. So these subconscious patterns manifest in our physical structure. And what she found is that's what caused her disease. And what created the unity movement was her understanding that she's created in the image and likeness of God and does not inherit sickness. But she had to get that from her consciousness to her subconscious. It doesn't really change anything until we change the subconsciousness. It's just sort of an intellectual exercise, if you will. Whatever beliefs in materiality, in the power of disease, or in adversity of any sort have been allowed to settle into the mind and result in formations of flesh functional activity. And it takes great illumination and constant identification with ourselves, of ourselves with Jesus Christ and his wonderful humility and obedience, and with the spiritual knowledge of mastering the physical elements to dissolve these beliefs. So she was aware of this. This idea of the archetype is a little different. We're not talking about dissolving the beliefs. We're talking about taking these beliefs that we have in common, these subconscious beliefs, and putting light to them, shedding light, to like taking a flashlight and shining a light on them and seeing them for what they really are. So as we prepare for this journey, there are four archetypal patterns that manifest themselves. And the first one is the innocent, because we're all born in innocence. We're all innocent when we're born, aren't we? And don't we do things today that are innocent? We do them thinking that they're the right thing to do, that we trust someone, we trust a boss, we trust someone in a relationship as an innocent. And we find out that, we have what's known as the fall. And the next archetype is the orphan. And as we have that fall, we become orphaned. We become orphaned from that belief that it was going to be perfect. This time it was going to be perfect. Boy, that career was going to be perfect. That relationship was going to be perfect. And so we get orphaned from that belief, from our innocence. And then the next archetype now, if you think about the innocent, who's a perfect example would be Forrest Gump. Okay? But it always worked out for Forrest. Everything always worked out. And his innocence was beautiful. If you think about the orphan, it could be Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. She was an orphan, remember? She lived with Auntie Em, and she went off on this great adventure. Because she wanted to find out what... She went on a hero's journey. It may have been in a dream that she was in it, but she was on a hero's journey. So we think about orphans. We think about warriors, which is our next archetype. We move into that warrior archetype, that warrior power. We think about maybe Don Quixote. Have you ever read The Man of La Mancha? And he was fighting windmills. He was called on a hero's journey in his 50s. And he went out to the world to fight dragons and to rescue damsels. Well, ours doesn't have to be that significant. Ours can be right here in Farmington Hills. And then the last archetype on our way in this first stage of preparing for the journey is the caregiver. Any caregivers out there? I know there's a lot of us in Unity. There's a lot of us in Unity that are caregivers. And we think of maybe on Leave It to Beaver. What was the mother's name on Leave It to Beaver? June Billingsley or something like that. Yeah, Cleaver. I think her real name was Billingsley. Yeah, June Cleaver. Wasn't she the carrier? She always had conversations with Beaver, and she'd always try to turn things around to where they were positive. So these are the archetypes that we embrace in a way as we're preparing for this journey. And then once we're on the journey, once we've agreed to move into that journey, we have four archetypes that we find. And these are equally significant. The seeker. Martin Luther King, wasn't he a seeker? He was seeking a dream. I have a dream. And he realized his dream in a manner of speaking. But aren't we all seekers in Unity? We wouldn't be sitting here. We'd be over down the street at a traditional church if we weren't seeking more. So I think we all in Unity have that seeker archetype. Wanting to find more. So embrace the seeker. The next archetype is the destroyer. And that sounds kind of off a little bit, maybe kind of negative, but really, the destroyer is so important because what happens when you get on the journey, on the hero's journey, the destroyer gets rid of all the stuff in your life that you don't need. Have you ever been aware of that? That things seem to fall away that you don't need anymore on your journey. And you can think of it as a spiritual journey, a journey to wholeness, a journey to health, a journey to being one with Spirit. Maybe that's your hero's journey. But the destroyer gets rid of all the stuff you don't need. When you start losing stuff, we've moved a bunch of times recently. Every time we move, we get rid of more stuff. And it's like, pretty soon we won't have anything. But we've never missed anything. We've never missed anything that we don't have. Isn't that weird? I mean, we've gotten rid of a lot. We went to Unity Ministerial School. We got rid of a lot of furniture. We gave it to another student. When we moved from South Carolina, we just got rid of a ton of stuff. And so, the destroyer in our lives gets rid of those deep habits that we've had for a long time. Old thinking, negative thinking. And I thought, I've been in Unity almost 40 years. Some of that negative thinking is never going to go away. It does. It does. It does go away. And the destroyer is the archetype that helps get rid of that stuff. I don't want to live that way anymore. I don't need those negative thoughts. I don't know about you. What about you? Do you want that in your life? The next, after we get through with the, I guess you could think of Captain America or something like that as a destroyer. I didn't have a real good example. Would be the lover. Once we get rid of all that stuff, we can really start loving someone. The lover. And you think of St. Francis of Assisi. Man, everybody loved him. Even the animals loved him. Right? Remember him? He's the guy that wrote, Lord, make me an instrument of our peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Everybody loved St. Francis Assisi. And so when we get rid of all that stuff in our lives, that we don't need anymore, we can start loving for the first time. I honestly think in some ways I'm able to, and I'm certainly not perfect by a long stretch, Charlotte could tell you that, but in some ways I'm able to love her in ways that I never thought I could love anybody. And I can do that with other people too, not just with her. Ways that I can support people and be with people and love people that didn't ever occur to me was possible. But that's that archetype that allows us to do that, that those deep patterns that can keep surfacing. And of course, the last one on the journey is the Creator. See, once we've been through this and we're nearing the end of our journey, we can begin to create stuff in our lives that we never thought possible. We begin to create harmony and peace and good relationships and peace of mind and days where you don't worry. I never thought about worry until I got a little older. I never worried. And then all of a sudden with kids everywhere and grandkids, you start worrying a little bit. You know, pretty soon worry's in there. It's kind of chipping away at your beliefs. So when we get to that phase of being a creator, we can create a life without worry, trusting spirit. And you think of a creator, Jesus the Christ would be a good example. Or the Buddha, the Muhammad. There's creators right here. And you could take this a step further and think of it as our community, these archetypes. What do we want to create in this community? Charles and Myrtle Fillmore. I want to read one thing from the creator from this book and tell me if this doesn't sound like unity. Just tell me if it doesn't. The essence of claiming the creator within is to recognize that the great spiritual source of the universe is not separate from us. We are part of that source. And hence, we are co-creators of our lives. Is that unity? With God and with each other. Claiming our capacity for co-creation can be an incredible, empowering accomplishment. And I've heard that term for over 30 years, but to be honest with you, I honestly didn't know what it meant. You know, and Dave and I were in ministerial school together. I went through ministerial school. I still didn't know what it meant until I read that. As a creator, we're co-creating. In other words, we are, God and you are creating your reality, your existence, your life. Not in the sense that it's that you're a magician or anything of that nature, or but that you are cooperating with God. God is working through you. You're the vessel. It's a beautiful thing when you think about it. When we allow that, when we're allowing God to create through us, and we're willing and we're open. So on our return home, there are four archetypes. And of course, the first one when we get back is the ruler. Because you get back home and you're the ruler now. You go off to ministerial school or you go off on your journey and you come back home and you're the ruler. But you're not the ruler in the old-fashioned way where you're dicked. You're the ruler in that you care about the good of the community and you care about each other. It's a benevolent ruler. It's a loving ruler, and there are some good ones out there. I just can't think of it. No. There are some good ones out there. There are throughout history. There have been good rulers, loving rulers that care about their kingdom, that care about their community. And so that's the first one that greets us. The next one that greets us is the sage, because the sage doesn't care about anything but knowing. And so when we get back, there's a part of us that wants to know the truth. There's a part of us that wants to know the truth and nothing else. Nothing else matters but the truth. But we can't live in that archetype all the time. We can't be there, but we can certainly experience that. And the last one, the next to the last archetype, is the magician. And the magician is one that's very familiar in Unity because it's about changing consciousness. The magician in us allows us to change our consciousness. And when we've come back from our journey, help change the consciousness of people that we know. Help them understand that this journey is about becoming our true selves. It's not about acquiring material. It's not about, you know, becoming powerful. It's about changing consciousness to become whole, perfect creations, aware of our nature, aware of our connection with spirit. And the last one, and this is a little odd, is the fool. And when I think of the fool, I always think of Steve Martin. I don't know why, but he's always kind of plays that role. But the fool is one who can just experience life and not take it too seriously. Have you ever had anyone say to you, you're taking yourself too seriously? Have you ever had anybody say that? You know, so the fool is one who can be the light and make fun of it. And, you know, of all the people that I can remember that are spiritually elevated at different Unity churches and different seminars, they always seem to have a great sense of humor. Have you ever noticed that? People that are enlightened, it might be, they seem to be not take themselves so seriously. They seem to be having fun with Eckhart Tolle. If you've ever listened to any of his stuff, he makes fun of everything and everybody. So it's that part of us when we return home that can experience life, but take it lightly and have fun with it. And that's what I want you to do this afternoon, is to have some fun, whatever that is, whatever that looks like for you. But I want to leave you with an affirmation, and I really want you to think about this affirmation before we do it, because I think it's really important. And that affirmation is, and the question is, do you want to step into this hero's journey? Only two or three of you raised your hand. And I said, I think we're all on a hero's journey. I really do. I think we're all heroes. We've got the courage to face life as it is and not try to change it. Not try to rearrange life to suit us. Facing it head on. You're a hero if you can do that. So as I step in, my affirmation is, and I've got two of them, they're the same, they're just going to change the pronoun. As I step into the hero's journey, I am anchored in spirit. Because as we are anchored in spirit, this journey is made possible. This is really important, if I can find it. This is Carl Jung, great psychiatrist. The individual who is not anchored in God can offer no resistance on his own resources to the physical and moral blandishments of the world. For this, he needs the evidence of the inner transcendent experience, which alone can protect him from the otherwise inevitable submersion into the past. And I looked up the word blandishment. It means the intoxication of the world. So unless we're anchored in God, the hero's journey is pretty darn difficult, folks. But when we're anchored in spirit, it's not. It's fun. And these archetypes are here to help you. These patterns that have been with us forever are here to help you through it. So my affirmation is, as I step into the hero's journey, I am anchored in spirit. Can we say that together? As I step into the hero's journey, I am anchored in spirit. And then as we, and I want to change it to we, because the hero's journey for this community, as we step into the hero's journey, we are anchored in spirit. Can we say that together? As we step into the hero's journey, We are anchored in spirit. So I always close. I want to say that even though I do not know you, other than Dave and Michael a little bit, and Charlotte, I love you, I bless you, and I certainly behold the Christ in you, and I admire you for being open to this hero's journey and allowing these archetypes to guide you on your way. And so it is. Amen.